Here it is. Charles. Charles, you didn't submit one, did you? Did you submit a question? No? Okay, well, it's from a guy with your same name. Now check this out, because right at the beginning here is the essential part of this. How do I tell if my pastor is not preaching well or if I am not listening well? Now, you know what? That's a really good question. Now, I want to deal with... I thought about just stopping right there and dealing with that, because in the remainder of his question, he pulls in some things that actually I thought might sidetrack us a little bit. But let's go ahead and do it. I think you guys will see some of the problems with what he says following this. He says, "My pastor is biblical, but is just feeding us milk on Sundays. I want meat. He's been preaching for 10 years, and it's always felt like this. He does not preach repentance and faith, but he sticks to the Bible. I feel like he's not being faithful to God, and he keeps recirculating his sermons and never gives stern preaching. It's all namby-pamby. Am I being too critical? I have to feed myself sermons online if I want to get fed. Is it right for me to leave my church, or am I in the wrong? I feel selfish and judgmental, but this is my current attitude, and I may need to repent of it." But you know what? This I know from the emails and from the phone calls that I get, and I suspect James gets a bunch of these as well, and it seems like when Paul was here, Matt may have asked him a question that Paul responded to, where I think he may have made some comments about the fact that there are a lot of people looking for churches today, and maybe there's more good ones out there than some folks are giving credit for. And I don't remember everything Paul said about it. But let me ask you this. How do I tell if my pastor is not preaching well or if I'm not listening well? What do you think? I don't want just... I'm not interested in just gut opinions. I mean, I'm wondering, anybody have any biblical feedback? Look, wouldn't we all agree that it's possible to have a good preacher who preaches well, and a person comes to listen to them and listens well? And it's possible to have a guy who, as a norm, is a good preacher, but he has an off day, and a person comes and listens well and doesn't profit very well. It's also possible to have a good preacher preach well, and somebody comes to hear him and doesn't listen well. Right? And the guy could be a bad preacher preaching bad, and a person comes and doesn't listen well. I mean, obviously, there's all sorts of scenarios that fit in here. But the fact is that this is a valid question. This is one that I've asked myself many times. You know, we are trying to evaluate any number. Think about the men that speak in our church. You know, we have myself, John Seitzma, who are elders. We have Craig and Matt and David and Kenny, and we're going to be hearing Ryan, Matt Wilkinson. We've heard Mark Outing, Mark Harrington. We're going to hear Daniel Perez. We've heard Scott Haney. And so, you know, we do need to ask, how can I tell when a guy is a decent preacher? You see, what's happening here is there's a breakdown. This guy recognizes that when he comes to hear his pastor speak, there's a breakdown somewhere. And so I'm not going to be dealing with when a good preacher preaches a good message and a person comes and listens well and the whole thing works well. Because that's not what we're dealing with here. The question has to do with there's a breakdown. Whatever the cause, the person listening is walking away and feeling like they're not profited because they're having to go to the internet to get fed. They feel like they're not getting meat, they're rather getting milk. Now, would you all agree? Would you all agree? I mean, we understand this. This isn't difficult to figure out. There are preachers who preach well, and there are preachers who preach bad, right? Yeah. You've all dealt with that, right? I mean, we understand that there's reasons for that. There's reasons why preaching comes across and hits us in a positive way, and there's reasons why the preaching comes across and hits us in a negative way. And what this guy's asking is, when that negative way happens, how can I tell when it's me that's the problem, or how can I tell when it's the pastor that's the problem? Well, I think this is a tremendous question to ask, because especially in churches where more and more men are taking the pulpit and a church is testing a man's gifts, we need to ask ourselves that question. We do need to ask ourselves that. You don't want to be in a position, I don't want to be in a position where I'm evaluating a guy and the truth is he has God-given gifts, he has God-given abilities, the Spirit of God is upon him, but because of something in me, I tend to weigh it out and I look at this thing and in my discernment, my judgment of the matter, I say, you know what, I don't think that guy has it. If you're this guy, it may not directly affect that pastor a whole lot. But if somebody's standing up in the pulpit at our church and I make that assessment, that could be somehow detrimental. So how do we figure this out? How do we work through that? When you folks sit down and listen to somebody preach or teach, when you go online and you listen to somebody, when you come to this Bible study, when you watch somebody on television, you listen to sermon audio. On Sundays, you come to church, somebody gets up. And typically in our Sunday school, you're going to be a different man literally every week. How can you... And you guys go away with different ideas. I mean, I can remember that... I can remember a situation where one man we were putting in the pulpit, I was hearing back from people in the church that they wouldn't invite their friends or family when they knew that guy was going to preach. I mean, I've heard people say that. I've heard people in other churches say that they would recommend that people come to our church and they wouldn't recommend people go to their church because of the caliber of preaching that they thought that they had in their own church. I mean, that's a breakdown. So how do we get to the place where we can discern this thing? How do you? I mean, okay, we can deal with objective truth here, and that's what I want to do. I want to look at some things very objectively from the Word of God. But before we go there, I am going to hit you guys for just gut reaction. You come out of a message... Before I ask you specifically about the, I guess, the characteristic of the type of preacher and preaching that you would say that you like, let me ask you from this standpoint. When you walk away from a sermon, how do you like to feel? Enlightened? Helped.
Glorious view of God.
Glorious view of God. Maybe awe. Worshipful. Reverence. Fear. Would be help. If it was comfort I needed, I got it. If it was rebuke I need, I got it. If it was light on some place where I was in the dark, I got it. What else?
Spurred on to keep running the race.
to run the race. Encouragement. If I need encouragement, I got it.
What about like a timely word? You know, something that
the Lord gives you. You want an idea that you heard from the Lord. It's like, I went today and I had this thing and God spoke directly to it. I mean, that man did not know what was happening in my life, but God did, and God spoke through that man. I mean, you guys see that happens, right? How many times does that happen? When God is in it, God is in the preaching, God has His hand on the preacher, and as that man was studying, and he was asking God for a word, and he was looking to the Lord, who alone knows all the needs of all the people that would be there, and knew every single individual, and he cried out to Him, and God gave him such a message that he sits down, and he didn't just help one person, he helped a bunch of people with a lot of different problems. Or how often have you heard where somebody comes and they say they sat down and they were listening to the preaching and they thought somebody told the preacher about them? I hear that a lot. A timely word, a word from the Lord. I want that. I want to come and sit down and say, I heard from God today. What else? How else do you want to feel when you leave the preaching? Alive, like strengthened, empowered, living. You want to feel charged, emotionally charged. I want to feel, I love when I can walk away from a message and I feel, personally, I like when I walk away and I feel like the Spirit of God floored me in that message. Or I feel like I got kicked in the gut. Now that's a feeling I like from the preaching. Or I didn't even want to move when it's done. God came into the place and that man just preached for 1 hour and 10 minutes. It felt like 5. I didn't want it to end. That the Lord took me away. I mean, I've had times in the preaching where it's almost been out-of-body experience. And all I mean by that is I've lost sense of time and space and everything. I just became entranced by what was coming from that man. And the Spirit of God was in it. Or like was said, I want to go feeling like that preacher took me to levels of glory with Christ, the Father, the Spirit, the Triune God. He lifted me up to a place where I feel like I've been on the borders of heaven. I mean, how else? How do you guys want to feel when you leave the preaching?
Fed.
Fed. Yeah, you don't want to feel empty or starved, or like you went hungry for meat, like this guy was talking about, and you didn't get meat. You feel like, I mean, have you ever had that happen? Where you come hungry and you go away hungrier. You came looking for a word from God, and the man was like, you don't even think God was in it. And you guys know the difference. How many? I mean, raise your hand if you've walked out of a message before and you just felt like that was just a total waste of time. So, what makes the difference? Now look, the best sermon on earth can be preached, and the truth is that the person listening could not have listened well. Jesus in one place says, take heed how you hear. You know, it's possible that we can just hear in a bad way. You know, I've thought before that in times of revival, you know, typically we know about seasons of revival. Sometimes we hear about specific messages where God moved in a tremendous way. What's one specific message you guys can think of where God moved in a very profound way? That was one I was thinking of. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. But you know what's interesting? There were no doubt people that walked away from that message unaffected. Unsaved for certain. I mean, there's no indication God saved every single individual in that place. Think about the person that left least affected. What's another message you can think of God really used? That's another one I thought of too. And I know there were people that left that message unaffected. Not only unaffected, maybe affected in a negative. They were angry. So, let's first look at the preacher side of this thing. What is it? How do I know this? Look, let's say you're in our church, you're in any other church, and you go and you begin to sit. Now, this guy says that he's been under this pastor for 10 years. At least the pastor's been preaching for 10 years. He made it kind of sound like maybe he's been there for the whole time, maybe not. But let's say you're in a certain church for a length of time, and you start getting to the place where you feel like this preacher in his preaching just doesn't seem to me to be as profitable as what I hear on the internet. Because obviously, the guy says he's going to the internet to get fed, right? So he feels, this is a man who does feel like he can get fed. It's not a man who, no matter what preaching he goes to, he's just not connecting. He feels like his pastor is not measuring up to some of the things that he's finding on the internet. So, what is it that we want to look for in a man himself? Because what he's asking about is, should he be making an issue about it? And should he even remain in that church? And we get questions like this. I suspect there are many people that are watching, I'll be honest, that are in churches that oftentimes wonder whether they ought to stay in the church. Because they wonder about the man's preaching. Because they, if the truth be known, they would identify directly with this man. That they're hearing stuff on the internet that is not measuring up to what they feel like they're hearing in their church. So what do we do? Where do we go? How can we help this guy? How can we help ourselves? I ask myself this. This is not something that I'm unfamiliar with as far as just working through in my own mind. Because as I watch men and I'm trying to evaluate what they're made of, where their gifts are. Should this man be in the pulpit? Should this man be on a mission field? Should this man be here or there or ministering the Word of God or teaching or preaching? I'm trying to ask myself these questions. What is it that makes a preacher? What is it that makes a God-called man? What is it that identifies a true gift as far as what we should expect coming from the pulpit? What should we expect when we listen to a man give a sermon? Should we expect that it's basically of the quality and character of a sermon like Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? Should we expect that every time we sit down to hear a message preached, that it's basically a shocking youth message caliber? And if we say no, we shouldn't expect that every time, how low should our expectations go? I mean, give me some thoughts. What does Scripture say objectively ought to be happening? We would all recognize this. Jesus Christ, what does it say in Ephesians 4? Jesus Christ gave gifts to men. What are those gifts that are identified there? Pastor, teacher is one of them. Prophet? Apostle? Evangelist. And what were those gifts given for? Here, now watch this. How can you know if a man has been given these gifts? What's going to be true? What are those gifts given to accomplish? To equip the saints for the work of ministry so that what might happen?
Build itself up.
So what happens is, Christ gave gifts to certain men in order that they might be able to equip the saints, in order that the whole church might be built. And so here's the thing. God is not a failure in what He gives. God does not give something that it doesn't accomplish the purpose for which He gave it. You guys all agree with that, right? I mean, when the Spirit of God empowers a gift, then that gift is empowered. And a gift, by the very nature of gift, what is a gift? It is an endowment. It is something freely given. But the very nature of a gift is that not everybody has it. It is singular. It is something that sets a man aside. Not everybody in the church is an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor teacher. There are some who are, and those gifts are given to equip the body of saints as a whole so that they can build one another up. And here's one thing. If a man is standing in the pulpit who does have that gift, then what's the consequence going to be? The church will be built up. People will be equipped. Listen, if you sit time and again under a man and you are not being equipped, if his preaching is not helping you to be equipped to build the body up, what does that look like? What does it mean for the body to be built up?
Strengthened,
and actually right there in Ephesians 4, if you look at the context, it's that we might achieve something. Anybody know what it is? The fullness of the stature of Christ. Basically, if a man's preaching is not being used of God to bring greater Christ-likeness into the church, then something's defective. Something's defective in the man. Now listen, here's one thing that we want to do if we're trying to evaluate whether the man's defective or whether I'm defective. It would be good to talk to the other saints. Because here's something that's true. These gifts are given to equip the saints. Now, the thing is, if you say, I'm not profiting from that guy, but guess what? I go over, I ask this brother, and I ask that sister, and I ask that brother over there, and that sister, and that. And I go around, and they're all like, it's great. I mean, I find that guy's preaching profitable. And you're after he gets done preaching, you just hear people saying, oh, that helped me. That was a great blessing to me. And you're thinking, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, then the problem may actually be with you. Because here's the thing that we know for certain. That if God gave the gift is going to accomplish what God gave it for. And if it is indeed profiting, and the church is growing as a result of it, but somehow you're the odd man out, well then, the likelihood is pointing to you are defective. You have a problem. Maybe you're not converted. Maybe you're not listening right. Maybe you've already got it. Maybe you've got some bias against that guy. Maybe there's something there you need to repent of. Maybe there's some jealousy. Maybe there's some envy. Maybe there's some bitterness. Maybe there's some legitimate thing you know about the guy that kind of discredits him in your mind. There can be a number of reasons why you might be the odd man out. But look, if other people are being profited, you would all know this, and the multitude of counselors, folks, there's a lot of wisdom in that. You want to talk to people. If you find that you're struggling under one preacher, it's good to get feedback. That's generally where I go. If I watch a man, and I listen to him, maybe... Look, every man can have a bad day. You don't want to rate a man's ministry and rate his gift because of one sermon you heard. But if I listen to a man 6 times, 8 times, 10 times, and I'm just not really being helped, I'm not seeing that he maybe necessarily has any unique ability, sometimes I can tell right away, that guy does not have it, we need to take him out of the pulpit. But there's other times boy, I'm asking myself, is it just me? Is it me? And I may ask, what I'm going to do is I'm going to typically ask the other preachers and teachers first. I'm going to ask John Seitzma. I'm going to ask Craig. I'm going to ask Matt. I'm basically going to go around and ask the people, what do you guys think? We just had a preacher-teacher meeting the other day, and I did just that. There was one individual that I was asking them about. Hey, guys, give me your feedback there. And it's interesting, but most often the feedback I get from the other guys is exactly what I was thinking. Their observations are just right in line with my observations. You know, you listen to a guy 6, 8, 10 times, and that happens. What else should we be looking for? I mean, what should we expect? You come, you sit down before a man. Obviously, different men have different types of gifts. They come across different. They have different personalities, different voices, different tones. Some tend to be more monotone. Some tend to be more energetic. Some tend to leave the pulpit. Some tend to dance around. I mean, you know, you just have different character, different personality. But as a whole, biblically, when I sit down to hear a man, what should I be looking for?
Clarity.
Clarity. Let's deal with that first. Clarity. I have that here. Listen to this. Romans 11:25. I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. Now, I wrote that down because it's interesting. When a man wants to communicate truth, look, I want you to understand this mystery. Mystery may mean hasn't been revealed up till now. Mystery may mean there's some difficulties about it there are some aspects about it that may be somewhat difficult to understand. But bottom line, Paul would say this to the Colossians. Colossians 4 verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ. There's mystery again. On account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear. Which is how I ought to speak. Clear. Let me ask this. Look, a man who takes the pulpit all the time and is not clear is not doing what?
Helping.
Why isn't he helping?
It's not clear. Confusion.
Yeah, confusion. If he's not clear, there's confusion. And if there's confusion, the saints are not being equipped. And if they're not being equipped, the body is not reaching the fullness of the stature of Christ. Be certain of it. What can a man... Look, I can tell you this. When a man comes along like Paul and says, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. When a man's passion is that people clearly understand, what's he going to do? But how is it that a man can be unclear? There are a variety of ways.
No direction.
No direction.
No preparation.
You listen to a man who basically, he starts preaching, you don't know what he's preaching. He may read a verse or two, but you don't know how it connects. You don't know where he's going. He's giving points. Brother, could you not? He's... You know, you're listening to him, it's just kind of... I don't know what this guy's saying. I don't know where he's going. I don't even know how he got to where he is. What's the point? You lose people, you give people no enthusiasm to listen, they're not going to listen. You got fire engines going by and ambulances going by, which is typical of our place, and, you know, street people walking by and guys with leashes holding big old, you know, person-devouring dogs, and they're going by. They're gone. How else can you be unclear?
Your choice of words.
What would be a bad choice of words?
Foul language.
Yeah. Our second question has to do with that. So you might already predict where I might be going with that. But
words that the people don't understand.
There you go. Words people don't understand. Why men go into the pulpit and use $3 words that nobody understands is just beyond me. Well, no, it's not totally beyond me. You know what? A man who constantly goes into the pulpit speaking words that are over people's heads, you know what it tells me about that man? He is more interested in impressing people than he is with driving the truth home. He is not so interested that the people understand. He is more interested that people admire him. And you know what goes into that same category, that same bracket? Is guys who love to get up in the pulpit and tell you about foreign languages, tell you about the Greek, tell you about the Hebrew, when there is absolutely no reason for them to tell you. And the information they gave you about the Greek is not helpful. It does not help you at all to grow in the stature of Christ. They told you to wow you with their expertise in the language, but it helps you zero. Listen, if you say something about the Greek and it suddenly opens people's eyes where they say, wow, that gives me a look into the Word of God deeper than I was ever able to go before. By all means, go there. But if you're just spitting out, well, it's basically in this voice and in this tense and it's all this and you're spitting this out, why? How else can you be unclear? Well, I'm going to go there, but I'm not certain what you would mean by how there would be a lack of clarity not being spirit led.
Everybody's jumping around.
Jumping around. Well, that goes right along with what Ryan said. Just no direction. People with no direction. I mean, look, listen to this again. I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. You know what? A man ought to have a purpose when he goes into the pulpit. I want these people to understand what I am telling them. Brethren, I believe right now that I am going to a specific place with the family on Sunday, and I already know there is something I want you guys to understand when I sit down with, or when I stand up in that pulpit and you guys all sit down before me. I want to take you in a place where when you leave, there's some understanding. Now, you may already have that understanding, but Peter was not afraid to, by way of remembrance, to bring them back. Brethren, there's nothing wrong with remembrance. In fact, one of the ways that we can be clear is by remembrance, by repetition, by hitting these things from different directions, a number of different ways, a number of different times. If there are certain things that I want you to get, then I'm going to come back at them more than one time with clarity. We're going to hit them, we're going to hammer them, we're going to nail them. Now, somebody said something else. What did you say?
Not dividing the word.
Not dividing the word. Listen to this. Truth. 2 Timothy 4:1, one of the most, I guess, the strongest places in all the Scripture when it comes to preaching. I charge you, Paul saying to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. I'll tell you what, when men stand in the pulpit and they don't preach the Word, then it's no wonder when God's people are not being fed. Preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Now listen to this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Men who stand in the pulpit but they never rebuke, never reprove, that's no good. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Brethren, one of the things we need to ask when a man goes in the pulpit, is he preaching truth? Is he preaching the Word? That's what I'm looking for. Is he preaching the Word? I'll tell you one thing I have no use for when a man takes the pulpit is when a man reads a text and then he never tells you anything about it. He never goes back to it. He doesn't expound it. He doesn't talk about it. He starts someplace, reads a text, and then he just goes off on this journey. And why did he even read that? I don't even know how he started there. And what all this was he said, it had nothing to do with the Word. And there are preachers like that, brethren. They just, look, I can tell you this. If a man has a gift, it means he has an ability. He has an ability to rightly divide the word of truth, to preach the word. He is going to exhort. He is going to rebuke. He's going to say it how it is. He's going to open up God's word. He's going to tell you what God has to say. There are too many people in this world that stand in the pulpit and they want to tell you stories, give you opinions, and not even deal with God's word whatsoever. Highly suspect whether any man is called of God like that. I can tell you this, God's people are fed by God's word. They're going to be nurtured into that fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ by the living word of God, not by your opinions. And as good and helpful as stories and illustrations and all that can be, and look, if a man really wants to drive things home, he's going to use illustration, he's going to use allegory, he's going to try to open it up because he wants to cement these things in people's minds. But ultimately, folks, the power of God is going to come from truth. I would say this. We have truth. Preach the word. I talked about an ability to teach already. By ability to teach, look, I want to hit this again because I really want to drive this home. Ability to teach is not the ability to stand in the pulpit and say words. Ability to teach means you have the ability to communicate the Word of God in such a way that God's people are equipped in such a way that they are able to build one another up into the image of Christ. That is the ability to teach. Too many men think because they have a desire, because they have the will, maybe even if they have a church that's willing to give them a platform, that just because they stand behind a pulpit and maybe even know the doctrines of grace and maybe can even speak some measure of truth or reformed doctrine, that ultimately equates to having a gift of teaching and ability. But brethren, the only way that let's just put it this way. The ability to teach is not seen in whether a man can stand in the pulpit. The ability to teach is going to be found in how that teaching affects his hearers. That reveals the ability. So, I would say this. Christ. That's going to be one of the huge things about a man standing in the pulpit. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified," 1 Corinthians 1:23. "Stumbling block to the Jews, folly to the Gentiles, but those who are called, both Jews and Greeks." So when a man stands in the pulpit, is he preaching Christ? I've heard Reformed guys stand in the pulpit and preach the law and barely touch Christ. That is not going to edify the church. That is not going to build the church up. That is not going to give the church meat to eat. That is going to drive a church typically towards legalism. Christless approaches to the law are not healthy. Christless approaches to anything are not healthy. Christless preaching is not healthy. You got a man standing in the pulpit, you rarely hear a Christ. He's not directing the congregation to Christ. He's not directing them to the doctrine of Christ, to the person of Christ, to the cross of Christ, to the glory of Christ, to the life of Christ, to the gospels of Christ. I mean, if he's not going there again and again and again and bringing people there, highly suspect whether the Spirit of God ever gave that man a gift. Because the Spirit of God came into this world to glorify Christ. If he's giving gifts to the people in the church, you can be certain of this. If ultimately, the way we're being built up is being conformed to this stature of Christ. And if God's Word says the way that happens is by us beholding the glory of the Lord. We are from one degree of glory to another being transformed into that same image. Folks, you get a man standing in the pulpit, doesn't bring... Brethren, I can tell you this, there is nothing that stirs my heart as a man who is able to take and bring out realities that have to do with the glory of Christ in ways that are powerful and God-owned and just bring bring you to another level of understanding about the glories of the person of Christ. I mean, if anything melts the heart of a Christian, if anything is meat, if anything is profitable. But I would say this, a man standing in the pulpit, he needs to have reality. What do I mean by that? All I did was I just searched I and me in the Epistle of Romans to get the heart of Paul. This is just a glimpse. But watch this. I am eager to preach the gospel. You ever see a man in the pulpit who just doesn't seem like he's eager to be there? I mean, it's like, that guy even have any heart to be there? I mean, there's no passion in the man. How about this? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You get some men in the pulpit, it's like they're ashamed to say, you guys, any of you guys see the Joel Osteen thing when he was talking to Larry King? Guy was embarrassed. Well, I don't know. He can't even say the truth. Brethren, that kind of guy isn't helping anybody. Do you believe the Word of God? You're rightly dividing it? You got a passion to say it? Then say it. Is it God's Word? Don't be ashamed of it. When a man stands in the pulpit and he's able to say, I am not ashamed of what I find in God's Word, and I'm going to preach it, though it be in season, though it be out of season, I am going to let you folks know what the truth of God is. Stone me, hang me, all of you depart, but I'm giving you the truth. If there's God's people here that want to hear it, then eat on this, folks. And if you don't like it, if you want your ears tickled, then go somewhere else. But I'm going to proclaim the truth. Paul, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed in us. Somebody that believes something. I mean, he's got his eyes set on glory. He stands in the pulpit like he believes it. I mean, you ever see somebody that's up there and it's like, I don't even know if they believe this. I mean, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's a man with conviction. He's got some assurance about things. Romans 9, he says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow, unceasing anguish in my heart. I could wish myself accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. A man that stands in the pulpit with a degree of passion. He cares. He isn't... Listen, brethren, there can be men that stand in the pulpit and you can tell. Brethren, you can tell. When a man stands in the pulpit and he wants to bring attention to himself. You know what? That guy that uses the 3-cent words, that guy that wants to tell you all about the Greek, you're going to quickly become suspicious as to whether that man cares about souls. Because you know what? When you're willing to be cut off from Christ for the sake of souls, you know what's going to be true of you? You are going to be so meticulous to be clear with that gospel. You do not want those people to not understand. You want them to be helped. You want them to know the truth. You believe this is life and death. When men stand in the pulpit, it's like they could hardly care less. They're standing up there and you get the feeling they want you to admire them. They want you to applaud them. They want you to make much of them. They're up there trying to... But they're not really interested in seeing people converted, seeing people saved. They have... You know what? When a man knows how to argue with people, I mean argue with your conscience, argue with your reasoning, he knows how he is going to meticulously, when he's studying for a message, he is going to seek to get you to think. He's going to try to drive that word home. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, a man who has appeal about him by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans 15:15. I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God. He's a man with boldness. Romans 15:30. I appeal to you, brothers. And he's appealing there for prayer. You find a man, he cares. Is God owning my preaching? I'll tell you this, a man that goes into the pulpit with no desire for people to pray for him and no desire to pray for himself, not much prayer goes into his preaching. It's been said, who said it? It's not coming to me right now where I heard it. But I heard, it may be Brother Andy made the comment, that you know, when a man begins to go into the pulpit and he hasn't prayed, the people begin to pick up on it. Why? Because the life, the energy, the power, it begins to go out of the message. And people are not profited. I can remember, brethren, I sat in this message. I heard a man standing in the pulpit insisting that if the people he was preaching to were not being helped, built up, edified, in any way profiting from his teaching, the problem was with the hearers. And I was listening to that saying, what is that guy saying? Now that can be the case. But brethren, I can tell you this. If all of a sudden I see people starting to go to sleep, my first assumption is not that it's them. Because what I have found is that when God owns preaching, when God calls men, when God gifts men, when God gives men a message, when those men take that message into the pulpit and they start preaching, people generally don't fall asleep. They don't end up wandering all away. I think typically if a preacher's not connecting with the people, the first place he ought to look is in his own mirror. What's something else we might say? I would say power. You know what Paul said? My speech, my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and power. Let me ask you this. What is a demonstration of power? A response in the people that hear. What kind? Look, what does power itself indicate or signify? I mean, somebody says, that was powerful. Or, like Paul says right here, that when he spoke his message, it was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. What does he mean that there was a demonstration of the Spirit and power? What is a demonstration of power? Something took place. What kind of things would we expect would take place if preaching was a demonstration of the Spirit of God's power? Conviction, salvation.
Like you said, the church being built up.
Church being built up.
Enlightenment.
There's understanding. There's comfort.
Joy.
There's joy. We talked about it earlier. There's fear, there's awe, there's worship.
Repentance. Prophetic.
Maybe prophetic. I mean, we expect something supernatural, right? Something that man all by himself can't produce. Man by himself doesn't have the power to produce these things that we're talking about here. So, look, if a man is continuously entering a pulpit and God's people at large, I'm not talking if you go ask the guy's wife, right? You don't. That's not the first person that you want to ask. Why? Because they love their husband and they want to encourage their husband. And typically wives are their husband's number one cheerleader. They're not the best person to ask. Not my wife, not any guy's wife. They're typically going to think overly high of their husbands. But, brethren, the fact is, if, with the exception of this preacher's wife, if she's the only one being helped, supposedly, supernaturally, and everybody else is just kind of... Again, I heard Andy one time say, We can't kill the hearers. We can't kill the church. And I think he talked about... I was in those meetings. He said something about if you ever see people after a guy preaches and they're sitting there all strung out like some disease just wiped everybody out. Or he said, like a dog. Like when you say sick'em, and I don't remember the face he made, but it obviously was a dejected thing and put out. But brethren, I'm telling you, if people just kind of have this starry-eyed look after somebody gets done preaching, and it's just kind of everybody's lost and nobody's... except for the, like I say, that preacher's wife, and she's, you know, there, and she's ready to say, that was good, honey. But everybody else just... Brethren, we got to expect the supernatural is going to happen when somebody owns it. Faithful. That's one thing we want to look at too. Is the man faithful? I mean, does he show that he actually cares for the people he's preaching to? Brethren, I come back to this. Is a man willing to go down with the ship? Is a man willing to protect the sheep when the wolves come? Or is he going to run? Is he going to hightail it? Guy in it only for himself. You tend to get the idea when people are preaching. Do they really want to help the people they're preaching to? Fruit. Beware of false prophets, Christ said. And did he not say in Matthew 7, you're going to know them by their fruit? Look at people's lifestyles. I mean, does a guy pray? Does a guy fast? Does a guy have a spiritual life? Does a guy walk with Christ? Is he perfecting his golf game? I mean, what in the world does the guy do? Does he spend most of his days looking at his stock portfolio? How about fruit? I mean, the fruit goes along with the power. But we want to see that. If a man just doesn't have... If prolonged after 10 years, if this guy's the only one in the church, then I would say, yeah, he needs to really do some self-examination. But if he's basically looking around, he's talked to the folks, and people just aren't profiting. I remember in our church, after one guy did a series on Hebrews... One family came up to me and they said, we didn't get a single thing out of that whole series. Well, you know what? I thought the same thing. I thought, yeah, I didn't either. Well, and you'd start asking several people, and that's kind of the collective mentality. Well, you likely have a problem there. Now look, we all have to come to grips with we have a preference. And you know one thing that we've got in our day? We've got internet. MP3s, television, and we have access. Look, there was a day when not everybody could sit and listen to Paul Washer all day and listen to John Piper all day and listen to John MacArthur all day. And you see what that does is when pretty much everybody has access to the best gifts in the church, what it can do, what we have to be careful of, is that we don't take our preferences or the highest standards and just read into everybody else that they don't have any gift to stand in the pulpit. And we have to be careful of that. There's a difference between whether a man that stands in the pulpit is equivalent to John Piper and whether the man that stands in the pulpit is actually called by God to be there or not. Men can be called to be in that pulpit that have a God-given gift. And that are all these things I said. They are dividing the truth. They're preaching the Word. They're Christ-centered. They have an ability to build up the church. There is reality in it. They have a heart for the people. There is clarity. Well, it doesn't have the same kind of power, the same kind of feel, and maybe not exactly the same kind of clarity, maybe not the exact same level of giftedness, but the man has some abilities. We have to be careful that it's not just our preference for certain preachers that cause us to turn off a man. But like I say, ask others. Get other people's opinions. One thing that's true, if the problem is you, the problem typically is going to be there no matter where you go, because you really can't get away from yourself. But we need to take care that we are we're good listeners. You know what? One of the worst ways to listen is to listen tired. If you're going to Sunday mornings and you're tired because you were staying up late, that's your fault. Bottom line, it's your fault. There is no excuse for any of God's people to stay up so late on Saturday nights that they cannot be wide awake to hear the Word of God on Sunday morning. There is no excuse. That's your fault. You can't blame bad preaching, even if it is bad. You still are blameworthy in that. Don't do that. And you know, don't come all distracted. Don't wake up in the morning on Sunday morning and get involved in all sorts of worldly stuff. Don't get your mind on all sorts of trash and garbage. Wake up on Sunday morning, walk with the Lord, pray to the Lord, be in the Word of God. Prepare yourself to come listen to teaching. Listen, you don't get up and watch a football game on ESPN before you're going to come to church. Don't do that. Don't get in a fight with your roommate. Don't do that. Brethren, you need to ask yourself too, are you discerning? Do you tend to be hypercritical? You need to ask yourself this, what are you looking for in the preaching? Look, some people run to Paul Washer for the same reason people run to Benny Hinn. I'm not putting the two men in the same category by any stretch. One man is a man of God, one man is a false prophet. But people can run to these men for the same reason, to get an emotional high. That's true. All they're looking is for some emotional... There are people that like to listen to the shocking youth conference. Look, we just had a guy the other day. James sent me something. Somebody wants to come here. He realizes he lives off somewhere else in the United States, probably already listened to the Shocking Youth message, probably listened to all sorts of messages by all sorts of men, and he wants to come here to get saved. The truth is, he's heard enough truth to already be saved where he is. I'm not saying whether he should come here or not, but the fact is, there are some people that... they've heard these messages, and they didn't hear them and then go trust Christ. And they're looking for this, they're looking for that, they're looking for this experience. What are they looking for? Are people really looking for Christ? I can remember reading Spurgeon one time. Spurgeon said, I know I love the gospel. He said he had gone off and listened. Spurgeon just kind of slipped into one man's church somewhere. And he said he sat down and that man did not have superior gifts. He said there was nothing in the man's message that he had ever not thought of himself. And he said, but it was just the plain gospel. And he said he rejoiced because he loved Christ. What are you going to hear? You see, if you're going to be wowed by the Paul Washer style preaching all the time, and have your emotions frazzled by that kind of preaching, then it's no wonder that you're going to have difficulty if listening to something else. If you get up and a man preaches and you're not really looking for what you ought to be looking for.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at illbehonest.com.